Good evening once again, and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live. After the excitement of last week, we're looking forward to a slow news week, putting our feet up and having just a little banter.
I take it you've not been keeping an eye on things.
There's no way we can top last week, is there?
Just you wait, it sounds like there's more chucking than we've seen in a long time. All sorts going on.
Ooh, did you say all sorts? I love licorice.
You silly boy. I mean, there's lots going on.
And just to prove Norma right, here are the headlines.
Last night? I'll be lucky if I can last until the interval.
'Twas on the good ship Venus. My God, you should have smelt us.
Hotbox has a hard election and it could swing either way.
We wave a fond farewell to a well-loved sight in our skies.
Harold takes one for the team.
The Underground Overground Railroad runs rings around evacuation.
Is it right to have a bubble with this many people, even if everything is well?
I spy with my little eye something beginning with C. Yes, community.
Despite all of the brouhaha surrounding the last night of the mugs, and whether or not it would include words or just subtitles for the resounding chorus, in the end, the event went off without a hitch, despite starting with a little rattle. One of the performers was nearly late because she had to get a baby sitar, and at least one of the players was harpist. No one knew whether the event would be spoiled without all the posh people bobbing up and down in time to a tune that only they can hear, or comically sounding a horn at inappropriate moments, like a manic vuvuzela salesman, or having to pay £20 for a glass of something fizzy and inoffensive. Still, with the organist pulling out all the stops, Stephen Benedetti's sister Nicola having a lark whilst playing, even though her Scottish accent's no better than his, and she was missing out on liquidating in his hot tub, and both of the audience members singing, "The profit margin never really mattered at all," for all they were worth at the end, this year's event finished on a high note, as could be expected, even if it was only Alvin that could hear it.
Historians have unearthed an old document from the year 2020, when they were speculating about the possible causes of gases in the upper atmosphere of Venus, specifically the gas phosphine. There has been some corruption of the file over the last millennium, but from the fragments that they've managed to put together, they believed that the gas was caused by flying penguins, though no explanation was forthcoming over how the penguins got to Venus, as to date, no conclusive evidence has ever been found for a sphenicidic space program. Except for the vague suggestion that they may have made their rockets from millions of small, chocolate-scented pieces of aluminum, bearing their image. Our extensive research did initially lead us down what was almost literally a blind alley, as misspelling phosphine with an E led us to spend much time investigating the other phosphine, which is where you can think that you might see light if you rub your on your closed eyes, or by taking certain drugs. Seeing things that are not there is one of our specialities, but after a few hours of rubbing various substances into our eyes, we decided that we needed another approach. Using Occam's razor tells us that A, Occam did not have a beard, and B, to always go for the simplest explanation. So we can conclusively reveal that the noxious gases are present on Venus because that's where Cymoof's ancestors originated, and that they must have moved to Glasgow at some point in their evolution, due to a misunderstanding about being able to see Uranus without a telescope.
How dare you! Hotbox is a hard election, and it could swing either way. I didn't say erection on the radio, that's good, isn't it? Hi, I'm back again with another Paul... Oh, wait. It isn't an apology this time, it's some actual news. Good news even. Hotbox elections have started. Well, good news apart from that misspelling. The grammar and spelling pedants have been on the comm non-stop ever since the post went live. Yes, you are right. It should have said gentlemen and not gentlemen. On behalf of Hutton and Hutton in general and Hotbox specifically, I am very, very sorry. We will all hang our heads for a minute of shared shame. Nominations went live on Monday for the next Hotbox leader, or Hot Boss, due to the current one failing his last psych eval. Apparently wearing a canary yellow flight suit and singing My Little Buttercup while doing the backstroke along the parade means you can't be in charge of Hotbox anymore. I mean, who knew? We also have to observe the bylaws for the constituency of O'Connell City and Van Manen Star, which dictate that we have to have a new leader every solar year. Nominations close on Monday 21st for Hotbox commanders to lumber their friends with the Hotbox title for a year. This year's nominations are Paul Jarrett Hayes with the slogan Shawside is on your side, Stephen Birch with the guilt-provoking I won't win, Andrew Swaziland with Swaziland, so good they named the country after me, Robert Burns with the slogan What do you mean indecency? It should be gross indecency, look at the size of it. And, some dough-bender nominated me. What's that all about? Look, if you hate me that much, why don't you just come round and post some dog poo through my letterbox like a normal person, you big fish biscuit? Fine, I'll go with Make Hotbox Sorry again. Okay, so tune in next week when voting will be live and candidates share their election promises, which you expect will last about as long as a Scottish summer. Until then, happy Bat Appreciation Day and Batman Day. Remember, your vote counts. It counts as one vote.
And now it's over to our outside broadcast unit, where our roving reporter, Hollow Me, has just arrived.
Hello, this is Harry Balzac, and this live report is coming to you from just outside the airlock of the famous Gnosis megaship, where a group of tourists are watching a man in a threadbare white coat, juggling buckyballs and making models of animals from small pieces of aluminium that he's tearing from his hat as I enter this iconic structure. The Canon research ship, no longer cutting-edge technology thanks to the advent of fleet carriers, has had a refit and is setting off on voyages around the bubble as a combined tour bus and floating museum, where the antimatter magnetic containment fields once held firm against the raging forces of nature, a souvenir shop sells Thargoid keychains and books such as My First Xenomorph. Freezers that once held the samples of deadly toxins gathered from around the galaxy have been reused as tables by simply throwing a tablecloth across them. And the huge vats of bubbling, noxious liquids have been replaced with a Lucky Dip water ride, where a small fee gives you access to 15 minutes of being sprayed at odd intervals, buckets of brightly coloured solution being thrown over you, and lasers ensuring that you keep your arms inside the car at all times. As a nice touch, at the end, you can optionally pay for a photograph of whatever mutation you've acquired during the ride, which can also be used by your relatives to display at your funeral. It's not just about having fun on the new Gnosis. There are still echoes of the serious studies that Canon used to conduct in the form of various posters on the walls with arcane diagrams, which have all been defaced with moustaches, male genitals, or even male genitals with moustaches in some likely exhibits. Unemployed scientists lurk in dark places. The only sign that they're there is the slight slap of their sandals as they shuffle about, the vague smell of leather from their elbow patches, and the whispers of, "Wanna buy a signed copy of the Codex?" Fake smiles are plastered on all the staff, and we know that what they're really waiting for is a call that says, "Attention all scientists! Thargoid attack underway! This is no drill!" And for them to reply, "So say we all!" as the drums reach fever pitch. All we know, it's that we're glad the change of role wasn't because of the biscuits.
If the combination of salty pirates, blockades of popular systems in open by dastardly do-wrongs, and Tharg the Mighty lurking on the fringes of human civilization weren't enough to make everyone sleep with the light on, it's all going a bit pear-shaped in galactic politics. Not content with making Hutton truck a truckload of people out of four stations in the bubble by setting fire to them, evil terror types have now struck out at one of the Empire's most famous families. Harrod Duval, pretty people's princess, Aisling Duval's dear dad, has been done in. Yes, he's been sent to meet his maker. He's taken a beam laser to the unmentionables. If he wasn't immortalised in statue form in his hometown, he'd be pushing up the daisies. He has ceased to be. He's drawn his last breath, and what's more, he didn't have enough for the rebuy. More from Commander Wotherspoon later, but between that and someone finally working out the NSS, yes, that's the no shiz silly, news that Starship 1 was sabotage, hands up anyone who hadn't worked out that particular nugget yet, the advice from Hutton Orbital is that everyone should just do a whole lot better to get along. Like a famous man once said, be excellent to each other and party on.
Following on from the last news article, and of course Flossie's excellent and rather excited return to form last week, Hutton have done what they do best and thrown themselves into the fiery fray with wild abandon. Yes, with four stations on fire and fire control crews unable to bring the Thargoid tech-induced inferno under control, scores of truckers have been loading passengers onto any vessel they can get their hands on and hauling them to waiting rescue megaships. Entarius Fusion, Meister of the Hutton Helper and Event Data Supremo, was quick on the draw and brought tracking systems online in double quick time, giving truckers a way with which to watch the ongoing rescue efforts. The numbers have been absolutely staggering. By the time of this broadcast, we're expecting 540,000 people to have been safely removed from the stations. No fewer than 15 commanders are now clocking over the 10,000 mark on people rescued. Their truck advisor ratings are staying high, with only a small number of particularly demanding passengers insisting that Tiddles the Cat should come too, or I need 15 tons of battle weapons being a reasonable request in response to the instruction, take only the essentials. And there are reports that these requests have been summarily ignored. Topping the tables with over 40,000 tons are Hutton regulars Texas Stew and Funky Abigail, with notable names including the Major General, who cut short his trip to Colonia, Suavus, and a hanky clone hot on their heels. What is also encouraging is that there are a large number of pilots new to Hutton who have made their mark on this effort. Intarius is reporting that sign-ups for the Hutton Helper are higher than they've been in many a month. There has, of course, been a casualty. Our very own Commander Flossie, Queen of the Community Created Community Goal and Reporter Extraordinaire, had to be rescued from inside a burning station. Not once, but twice. All in the line of duty, of course, as she was cataloguing the rescue efforts with her Galtax 3000 digital camera. This modern camera drone uses virtual reality control, but unfortunately the subject material was so absorbing that she didn't notice A, how long she'd been taking snaps for, and B, whether the ship had drifted over a pad, activating any station auto-defense systems. We're happy to report that passing Hutton truckers scooped up an escape pod and, due to her ongoing title of the Pilots Federation's favourite, didn't have too large a rebuy cost. With new community goals having launched today, as well as forthcoming exciting news from the Hot Pit team about Alvin's ongoing expansion plans, truckers will be spread thin. But we know we're up to the task. If you've not yet signed up to the Hutton Helper, you can visit hot.forthemug.com, and we're reliably informed that everything you need to know is hidden there somewhere.
We have a mostly steady bubble this week. There are still too many, about a third, of our systems with excessive influence, but only AVIC is too low. We should work for everyone except Sirius Corp and EDF in AVIC to stop the permit-hunting Sirius supporters from stealing our influence, whilst also avoiding any PvP war scenarios. In the systems that are too high, we need to keep an eye on WISE 0855-0714, LP245-10, WOLF 124, LP525-39, PSPF-LF2, said it right, Rubinson, WOLF 1481, and Luton 145-141. Trepin needs particular attention, as not only is it too high in influence, yesterday it was the highest of all our systems before it took a much needed drop overnight, but we also need to support Trepin Energy in their war to keep a buffer between the CIA player faction and ourselves. While this has been going on, Trepin Values Party have used the war to make large gains and leapfrog the CIA and Trepin Energy, so we need to make sure that external forces are not exploiting Trepin Values Party for that.
I appreciate the excitement with the rescue missions and the new CGs, which Flossie will tell you about later, but we mustn't let that create a situation in our own systems. Over in Colonia...
We've got an election in here!
That's right. However did you guess? I think we want to win that, but it doesn't really matter, as we'll do it again in a week or so. Everything else over there is fine, and I hope they've got the kettle on. I just set off on a bicky ball run. I know the BGS have been a bit quiet and, dare I say it, dull recently, but watch this space. Alvin has spotted something shiny and he's looking to bring some excitement to the galaxy. Over to Norma.
Here is this week's update on community organised events. We have the final results of the Exigeus and Buckyballers Colonia speedrun. The idea was to get from Buckyball's home station of Rebuy Prospect to Jack Station in Colonia as quickly as possible, with prizes of Steam gift cards and ship paint jobs up for grabs. And our short link is bit.ly/ColoniaSpeedrun. The results do show how much engineering can help when tuning your ship for specific purposes, as the winner of in the engineered non-hotbox class was Commander Ravenov, in a time of 1 hour 14 minutes 44 seconds, whilst the winner of the unengineered non-hotbox class was Bob Dubrovnik, and his time was 3 hours 41 minutes 38 seconds, nearly 3 times as slow. For the hotboxes, Marky P4334 came top in the engineer class with 1 hour 57 minutes 46 seconds, which beat the time from the sole competitor in the unengineered class, Cliff McLean, with an astonishing 6 hours 9 minutes 38 seconds, which we assume must have included a vacation on a planet that he encountered en route. The Dark Wheel continue their efforts to find Draxler. They swept both wars 4-0 as predicted and are now number one in system LTT 5455. They are looking to go pending expansion from there by Monday to Tuesday, and that jump will take them to the test site for phase 1. So, they are also continuing to climb in HR4979. Everything is progressing exactly as predicted last week. Rumours that members of the Pilots Federation on Sol have been avoiding black cats, responding promptly to chain letters and making sure that their horseshoes are the right way up have not been confirmed. "Worried us," said one representative. "Why, we aren't giving it another thought. Pass that salt cellar, will you?" Malice XR3 is looking for commanders to sign up for tomorrow's, that's Friday the 18th of September, if you're listening to the recording, regular mug meet at Hutton Orbital. Organised by Malice XR3 from 21 BST, the commander writes, "It's a new month, so with that comes another mug meet, though this one is slightly different to the usual. Yumi, the illustrious and occasionally short-tempered flight control officer of the FTM's Alvin's Paw, has decreed that we need to have a clear out of the Paws inventory. So this means a couple of things. Firstly, the one-to-one scale tower defence games in the storage bays will cease. Secondly, I might get my quarters back. A mattress made of cargo crates isn't the most comfortable. But most importantly, gives a window for both some profit and to introduce those Imperial types to the benefits of mug ownership and Alvin's fluffy leadership. To that end, we'll be heading to the Imperial-owned system of Pandemonium, apt name especially where Helpbox is concerned, to empty the paw, spread the Hutton word and make a few credits into the mix. Hope to see you there and for the mug. Those SRV Slaughterball crazies have announced the third and final episode to be run on Sunday, September the 27th, and they've called it Cell Block Riot. Details are in their Discord channel and you can get an invite by going to bit.ly/slaughterball. And that's all the news we have from the community organised events this week. But Flossie will be along later to tell us all about our honorary CCCG and the two new non-CCCGs.